Well done. Recording an interview with Miss Alma Knight on Thursday, the 22nd of September, 1994. First of all, Miss Knight, could you tell me where you were born and, if you like, how old you are now?
Yes. I was born at 52 Goxall Street, 6th of January, 1923. Do you want to know anything about the house or how long
yes,
I was there?
Yes.
It was our parents' first home.
Yes.
I lived there with them till I was about 3 years old. And then we moved to 13 St. Peter's Road to live with my grandparents. And a baby sister was born there. Unfortunately, she only lived a few weeks. And I started to school while we lived there at Medway Street. And then we moved to 45 Cropsall Street, which is where I'm living now. And my other sister, who's the youngest in the family, was born year before the war started there. Not actually in the house, at a nursing home.
Yes.
Do you want to know any more about the house there? Or
yes, yeah. Did you have sort of electric light and...
Yes, we did, which was quite unusual. Well, there were quite a lot of houses in Goxall Street that had electric light, but Oxendon Street, which runs... it's still there now, but there's the... nursery on one side, and there were houses there, and the small ones I don't think had electric light. I think they were the gas light,
yes.
You know, and they were quite small, and I believe, I can't remember them awfully well, they were taken down in the 1960s or 70s when the tower blocks were built, and the little school and the day nursery were put there then. But on the corner of Oxendon Street and Melbourne Road were some really beautiful houses. I think they were called Yeomandale Villas, and they were like the Mock Tudor style with the front gardens, very beautiful, and people were quite sorry when they went. But yes, our house when we moved was considered quite modern, but it didn't have a bathroom. Which, of course, we were there in the 30s, and then the war started, and you couldn't get work done like that. And of course, my sister was at school by then. So as soon as we could possibly get it done, our parents had a bathroom put in and hot water, which we thought was absolutely lovely. And of course, when you've not known that, you do appreciate it, you know, such a lot. And then we had various... sort of alterations and bits of work done, and the other houses, this is five houses from the bottom, the others are one or two are owner occupied, some are council rented, which of course they've updated and modernised. So but 52, as I can remember, was quite a nice house, but I can't remember if it was electricity. They have cellars, which is very nice. And 13 St. Peter's Road, of course, I was only there perhaps 2.5 years.
Yes.
And that at that time, it was there was no health service, and it was a public dispensary,
oh.
Which is quite an interesting thing.
Yes.
From the health
yes.
point of view, which is another
yes.
subject. I don't know if you'd like to know any more about that, or if I'll leave that and go on to something else.
Well, let's go back to when you were little.
Yes.
What sort of work did your father do?
Oh, he was... before I was born, he was on long distance... Well, I say long distance... either hire a car, where they took people, mostly business people, to places like Skegness, Blackpool or St. Anne's, and they had the use of the car for a week, you see, it was like a chauffeur. And he used to go up to St. Anne's or Blackpool to the big hotels there, and he I don't remember because I wasn't born, but he used to talk about it afterwards. And he used to stay at the in the part where the hotel staff stayed and have meals with them. And he wrote letters to my mother about how lovely it was. And they had the beautiful hotel meals, you know, although my mother was a beautiful cook and my granny. After we moved from, I'll go back to my father again. After I was born, he didn't want to be away a lot. So he was, he applied for, to be a driver on city transport, which he loved. And then he was an instructor, and then he went back to driving during the war years. But he had to leave for health reasons, so he was about the only time he was ill. He was on the sick for about a year, and he worked at Corus, did clerical work, which he also loved, you know. He's a lovely, I won't say he was possibly as outgoing as my mother, but when you knew him, he was very friendly, got on well with people, you know, which of course you have to do in all those jobs, don't you?
Yes.
But he did work a bit after retirement age, and he passed away in 1976, unfortunately with cancer.
Oh.
But both our parents were absolutely lovely. And after we left St. Peter's Road, my grandfather died while we were there. They were my father's parents. And my grandma came to live with us. And she would be about 88 or 89 when she passed away in 1943.
Mm.
So she was here during the air raids and she was marvellous. She used to go in the Anderson shelter, you know. She was really wonderful. She didn't turn her hair, you know. But I don't know if there's, you know, any more you'd like me to do about those years or...
Tell me about when you went to school. Were you five when you...
Yes. It was... it would be infants, wouldn't it? Yes, in those days. And it was Medway Street.
Yes.
I can't remember whether Dorothy was there, because the name was Cooper then.
Yes.
And I remember her parents living on Sparkenhoe Street.
Yeah.
Ever so well, you know, and her mother and my mother, they... Parents, well, I know a lot of parents very caring around here.
Yeah.
They collect the children, don't bring them and take them home. And mothers used to wait for you know when it came out because we're at school a bit later then.
Yes.
I think it was about 4:15 or 4 something like that. And in the dark winter evenings, they all used to meet outside and have a little chat. So because they used to remember the, and it was the same with my sister.
Yes.
She was there as well. Although there's the age gap. It was, she was at school in the, of course she was at junior school during the war years, and then she left, it was age 15 for her, she was at Crown Hills.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but it's... But
did you have very big classes? How many?
Oh yes, we did have, I did keep my, well, my mother kept them, my school reports, and I'm sure they're well into 40-odd. And the year we, now this is very interesting, if you're interested in education, the year we took what was called scholarship exam, which meant you could go to grammar school if you passed, the majority of our class passed, and we had a lot of pupils.
Yes.
Well, you did have a choice of going if you didn't want to go to grammar school. I mean, that was, had I been there, it would have been the beginning of the war, you see. Well, of course, things were a little bit.
Yes.
There was more employment, I should think, in the, at that time. Well, going up to the outbreak of war, I think things were getting a bit better here.
Yes.
But my father and mother used to say the 20s were very bad and the early 30s. But I think when you're about 5 years old, if you've got good parents and they buy you things, you don't remember that aspect, you know. It's love and good parents and a united family, that's what you remember.
Yeah. So, did you go into
another school after Medway? Yes, I did. I passed the scholarship, but for some reason, I suppose at that time, 11 years old, we were we didn't have the confidence they have today.
Yes.
And, you know, my mother used to take me to look at Wiggiston Grammar School, or if it had been Newark or Alderman Newton. The nearest one was Collegiate School. But, you know, my mother and father said, now you've won a scholarship, you can go if you want to. But it was still quite expensive, you know, your books and your uniform. And I said, and some of my friends were going to Moat Road, which was intermediate. So if you'd won a scholarship, you went into the top form and you learnt French and sort of more advanced biology and science. Yeah. But you left at 14, but I absolutely loved school days. It was beautiful, yes. And my mother passed away in 1983. And only just before that, a lovely teacher we used to keep in touch with, and she died just before my mother. We used to go and visit her, you know, on, it was a road off facing Spinney Hall Park, and she was an art teacher, and her house was absolutely beautiful, paintings and things like that. So, but yes, I really loved school days.
Did you have a uniform or?
Yes, we did, but you weren't as restricted as if you were to grammar school. You were supposed to wear a navy tunic and red jumper for winter, white blouses for autumn and spring. And this is very interesting because we did a lot of sewing in those days and machining. You learned how to look after machine and that. And you made your own summer uniform. And we had, we divided into four different houses, like Bradgate, Grace to Swetherland, and I forget, Overscroft. And we all had hand-embroidered emblems in flowers, you see. It was really beautiful. That was the art teacher's idea, you see. But of course, our mums used to help us a bit, getting them done in time, you know. But yes, it was really very nice. And there was a very, very nice arrangement. It was very discreet. And possibly at that time, which was the middle 30s, there were a few girls whose fathers didn't have much work. And the headmistress and headteacher would arrange an exchange scheme where parents, if you grew out of your tunic, you could take them. And the possibly the domestic science teacher would just give them a little clean and press up if they needed it, you know. Although in those days, the children were very clean, I think, considering, you know, it's not like today.
Yeah.
And then if parents wanted to see the headmistress, the little girl could go in the lunch hour and try one on. So nobody knew. It was all very discreet, you know, and beautifully done. And I think, really, there is a lot to be learned from that. But, you know, it's, I suppose it's throwaway society today, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
But, you know, I really love school days. I still have one or two things left. I did like science very much, biology and art. I loved art, but the job I had when I left school, strangely enough, was a shop assistant where they sold uniforms for grammar schools. Very strange. So some of the customers who came in with the daughters were actually older than me, you see. They were 15 and 16, you know. But that was a very happy experience. I enjoyed that very much.
That was in Leicester.
In Leicester, yes. The firm is in Stamford Street now. It's Graham Gardner. And they had a showroom in Granby Street. That's near the shoe shop. And they just round the corner from Wellington Street. They had all that building. And things were manufactured there. And then they had the showroom. And later on I went into the office there. But I enjoyed the showroom very much. Yes, it was lovely. And we worked till about 6:37, a bit later on Saturdays, but not as late as some were 8:30 and 9. But Granby Street was beautiful in those days, you know, all lovely shops and that. But and then of course there's the Gopsall Street School. That was a church school.
Yes.
And we went to Sunday school there.
Ah, Yeah, so but which church did you go to?
St. Peter's.
Yes.
And then I went to St. Hilda's for a time, which is closed now. Mm. So I'm back at St. Peter's.
Oh.
But that has changed quite a lot.
Yes.
Yes. From the old days. And as I say, my sister and I were baptised into the church. But
yes.
You do have to keep an open mind today
mm.
on religion. And that's why I think the multi-faith is very interesting in this city.
Yes.
I mean, I'm, you know, sort of quite interested in... and I believe there was one or two white people who adopted the Muslim faith,
yes.
isn't there?
Yes.
Yes, because it's... they don't take the sort of... the final sort of decision where they take it completely, but for a time when they've got children, they say it's a good influence on them.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
But yes, I think, and particularly with view to science and space discoveries, mm. you have to keep an open mind
yes.
today. And I don't believe in being too rigid on religion, you know,
mm.
and you can do just as good with sort of little good deeds for people,
yeah.
don't you
yes.
think, in a way? And
oh, yes.
I mean, helping with things like
yes.
this is all
mm.
very interesting,
yes.
you know. That,
yes.
But
so you went to Sunday school.
Yes.
Sunday.
Yes.
Did you enjoy that?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Yeah.
That
did
was.
You have treats or?
Oh, we did. Oh, yes. Yes, I did enjoy it very much. And there was a very nice lady who lived in Evington Street. She was a missionary in Burma,
oh.
and I can remember her coming vividly. I'd only just started there, I think, it was quite tiny, and she bought these beautiful clothes that the orphan, little orphan girls had made, hand sewn, and there was a little sarong and a sort of voile blouse,
mm-hmm.
and because I was so tiny, she picked me out, and I had these clothes tried on, and I stood on the headmistress's desk as a model. Oh, I thought it was absolutely lovely, you know, but yes, she's a very nice lady. She lived there till about the 60s, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So what did you do with the rest of your spare time? Sort of, did you go to the pictures?
Oh, we did, yes. But in those days, I think children had specialised programmes.
Yes.
We did go to see... they were sort of A and U categories,
yeah.
and the A was adult, but really today they will be considered very mild. In fact, sometimes I would go, if I had some friends in Oxendon Street, well, that's another story I can tell you about, very interesting, and sometimes I'd go with her parents, or she would come with my parents, or I'd probably go to stay with... auntie and uncle at the West End, and we go to the pictures there, and there were a lot of these sort of comedies and real children's things. Like, it was the era of the Young Shirley Temple films and Our Gang or something like that. But yes, the grown-up films, there were some which were suitable for children, like historic things, Mutiny
yes.
on the Bounty
yeah.
and those,
yeah.
And Tale of Two Cities, which we went to see. But, I mean, even the milder adult movies, which was possibly a couple and there's an affair with the secretary, it was very discreet, you know, you didn't come to any harm watching it, you know. But yes, we used to go there, and possibly pantomime,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the City of Leicester show, that was always lovely. And of course, with my grandma living with us, I mean, she'd be in her 70s then, and she's a very active lady, she used to come with us a lot. And then when my sister was born, she was sort of about 18 months up to when, but of course with the war starting,
mm-hmm.
that was sort of really...
Yes.
Very much. I mean, that is a whole new story on its own, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was blitzed around there. We were lucky in this
yes.
city.
Yes.
We're very lucky, but that area did get it a lot.
Did you have public shelters?
Yes, we did. They were the brick ones.
Yes.
Mostly at the junction of two or three roads. So if people were out and the sirens
yes.
went, they could go in. And Gopsall Street School was also a shelter. It was reinforced.
Yes.
And people used to go there. But a lot of people did have their own Anderson shelters.
Yes. Yeah.
But unfortunately, it was the winter and the water seeped in a bit. It was either a choice of catching a cold or, you know. But we were lucky in this city. But
yes.
I was only about 15 and it was quite frightening. And
yes.
I'd gone to the library with my father. Mm-hmm. And that was the old Gowindon Street
yes,
one. And
yes.
we were coming back. We got about, because those old streets were all gone now.
Mm.
And there were these sort of flares and incendiaries. Oh, I was absolutely petrified, you know. And we dived into an entry, you know, and in between we were sort of dashing home. And we got to Gathlaxton Street, you know, the pub there.
Yes.
There it was about 8 o'clock and they just bought the pints.
Oh,
so, of course, they were all coming out, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. It was. And we just got to Gopsall Street. My mother was just peeping round the door, you know, and she got my sister up and we just got into the shelter. There was a dear little black kitten, must have got lost, you know, and it went in after us, so we took him in the shelter and he only stayed about 2 days.
Yes.
But he possibly was, it was lucky, you know,
yes.
so I don't know if he survived, but yes, I suppose it was frightening being
yes.
close to it
yes.
like that.
Yeah.
And where Dorothy lived on Sparkenhoe Street, that was quite badly hit as
yes.
well.
Yes.
And there were some very nice shops down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grocer shops
yes.
and the fish shop
yes.
and
yeah.
watch repairs
yeah.
and that and
mm-hmm.
but then they had these sort of places where you were supposed to put waste food. That was for pig food,
yeah.
you see, because
yeah.
And our relatives in the country, they had used to buy a share in a pig.
Yes.
Sounds a bit funny, doesn't it? Through the Ministry of Agriculture and Food in
yeah.
those days, and you had an allowance to buy food, you see, and you fed them on scraps. Then when the poor things died, it was all shared out, you see. But, you know, I suppose it was all... And you were encouraged to grow your own food,
oh,
you see, you know.
Yes.
That.
Yes. And were you sort of much affected by the rationing? Was it difficult to get things?
Yes, it was in a way. And, of course, I was in my early teens. And that's the time of... Well, I suppose
yeah.
with my sister as well.
Yeah.
She was a little girl.
Yeah.
That's the time you do miss the good food.
Yes.
And milk was rationed.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get very much,
yes.
and as I say, I volunteered for essential work, and
mm.
we had 10 extra coupons to go towards bread and starch type foods,
yes.
which I didn't eat a lot of, really,
yes.
you know, and
yeah.
I had canteen dinners there, but my mother usually kept the meat ration for the weekend.
Yes.
Things like, of course, there's a lot of books being updated on this
mm.
now,
mm.
the recipes.
Yes.
Things like liver and kidneys, you registered with a butcher
yes.
and you were all on a rota and you
yeah.
could buy those, which was off ration,
yeah.
you see.
Yeah.
So, but it was sort of, and as I say, my mother and grandma were very, very good cooks.
Yes.
They preserved food,
yeah.
you know, in these glass jars and they made jam and we had an uncle who had a market garden.
Mm.
And he had lots of fruit bushes, blackcurrant
yes.
and that. But of course, you used your sugar ration up, you see. So. And as we all love sugar, you know, it was just how to drink your tea,
yes.
as it was.
Yes.
But I mean, that was a minor detail. We
yes.
all came through it all right,
yes.
which
yes.
we were very lucky
mm.
for. And
yes.
it's sort of, if you can pass on these things, it's sort of... a bit of a warning,
yes,
you know,
yes,
and
yes.
it makes you realise that even if there was sort of petrol rationing and food hold up, how you can survive on tinned
yes.
and dried food, you know,
yes.
that.
They didn't suggest evacuating.
No, we had evacuees
oh.
here.
Oh. They actually sent people to Leicester.
They had, yes.
Oh.
There was a lot of Jewish people came up from London,
oh. yes.
from Clapton especially. They were bombed very badly
yes.
there.
And that was actually in Highfields.
Yes, yes. And then another very interesting thing was, I think it was 1940, the fall of France, and Dunkirk, and the troops were all evacuated, you know, and they were brought up to the Midlands to be billeted here. So we had five in the house, and we had three soldiers with nowhere for them to sleep. So the billeting officer brought me and said, oh, there was just, if you've got a spare room, which is the downstairs front room, if you've got a spare quilt or pillows, they'll sleep on the floor.
So you had three strange men in
Yes, the house. And they were lovely. They were absolutely lovely, and they looked so desperately tired. Someone just got plimsolls on and singlet with the battle top, you know, and it was sort of warm weather, you know, it was sort of June. And a few had got sort of the haversacks, so one or two had got little bits of rations in. They just brought them up across, they'd come over the Channel, we see, landed at Dover or wherever, and brought them up to the Midlands. And
so how long did you have them for?
Well, they were there, they had to report. Now, this was another lovely building on Victoria Park, a lovely Victorian pavilion, which possibly there's records of that and pictures, you know. And that was the headquarters where they all reported, and they were all sent out to other places. And one was sent out to North Africa, and he was taken prisoner of war there. They were there, two of them were found, were moved on fairly quickly. One stayed a bit longer, and then we had perhaps another three come. But they always came around with the billeting officer, and we had, it was all documented properly, you see. And they were very, very nice. They'd come from lovely homes, some of them. And the one who was in North Africa, he was Welsh. And he did have, they had a little time to go back on leave. And his parents had a lovely garden, and he brought us some aster plants and things like that. And he took to my granny ever so well. Well, all of us, really. You know, so we've got memories of them, you know, that...
This was seen as a safe area then,
presumably. Oh, it was. It was. And strangely enough, that would be the summer of 1940, and it was the November of that year when we got the raids, so I don't know what would have happened then. But of course, the people already living here, we'd moved up from London, they were still here, you see, so they stayed. I mean, because all the Midlands, I believe, Derby and Coventry was very bad, because I've got an, well, she's an auntie-in-law actually, and she was bombed out three times there. And she had a sick husband, you know, and she worked very long hours in aircraft factories, so she had a bit of, but she's still here, bless her, hale and hearty, you know, she's a dear lady, must go and see her.
And you were working throughout the war?
Yes, I was at the same firm, because they had to give up the uniforms, of course. And I was in the office at that time, and they had war contracts to do PT wear for the army, uniforms for the ATS, tropical kit for Wrens, WAFs and all that. And we had a gentleman, he'd come up from London, I don't know whether he was, he was evacuated up here, and he was deaf. But he had, it was the first time I'd ever seen it in Leicester. They had an electric cutter which cut, you know, I mean, they're still going today, cut layers and layers of fabric, you see. And he'd been in the tailoring trade, and he did, laid all this cloth out, marked the patterns out, and they were all done, you know. Of course, they had a lot of extra people and outdoor staff, and added wages in those days, and insurance cards, and income tax was all taken out. And the contracts for material is quite a big job, you see. And I had a girl a little bit younger helping me. But it wouldn't have been what you called a reserved occupation after 19 or 20, so I did make inquiries, and I went to work on more essential work then. That was inspection for radios for aircraft, you see, which of course it was all right to do for the war.
Did you enjoy that?
I did, I liked it very much, yes.
And that was in Leicester?
Yes, yes. But a lot of relatives were did that sort of work. Yes. One or two were nursing,
yes.
Which was not... you didn't do as many exams. It was sort of assistant nurse, yes. Then in those, yes. Days for the war, mm-hmm. Years. Mm-hmm. Of course, a lot were in the forces, yes. You know, my cousins, yeah. Sort of... the father, he was still on city transport.
Yes.
But
did the buses keep going?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And we had some very, very bad winters. Mm-hmm. The snow was so, congested, mm-hmm. on the roads that they had snow ploughs wouldn't touch them. But they had one or two buses which did have the snow plough on,
yes.
You see. So when it was very bad, you know, my father often had to get up very, very early, walk to Abbey Park Depot, get the bus out, clear the roads, you know.
Yes.
They ran always for the factories when they opened, and
yeah.
There was round the clock working for factories in those days, 24-hour working.
Yes.
And then he had to go up to... sometimes he'd done quite a long working day and he didn't come home at the proper time, and we have a little note now that an inspector, yes. bought, and they had to take